The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hi, this is David Silva from University Church in Circleville, Ohio, and you're listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCain. Woo!
And we're back, Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast, helping youth workers to keep going, episode 36.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Steve.
And I'm Matthew.
Welcome. Thanks for tuning in today.
We're glad to have you. In fact, we need you today.
We do need you today.
Because we're, right from the get-go, let's let you know, we're in a mood.
We're in a really bad mood. Well, I'm in a terrible mood. It's my fault.
I'm
the one that set the bad mood.
I'm in a mood. You're in a real mood.
I am in a terrible mood.
Ladies
today.
And gentlemen, let me read to you a quote from a text I received from my Sherpa partner, Steve, this morning. So we were making arrangements to meet and record. I'm in a mood so pissy, my dogs don't even like me. That's what I woke up to this morning. And I thought, well, this is going to be a great
day. Hey, let's be real here. You got to say it.
Where's the mood coming from, Steve?
Well, I'm ashamed to admit it.
But be real. Be real with us, Steve.
I live and die by sports, man. I live and die by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And last night, they played the San Diego Chargers in the late game. Oh, they're not San Diego anymore. Whatever.
Whoever they are, the Chargers.
They're on the West Coast.
They're out there somewhere.
Are they a real team? I don't know. Anyway, we lost. We were up by 16 points, and we lost. Terrible calls, terrible plays.
Terrible everything.
I'm in a bad mood today.
You're in a bad mood. And you know what,
Seriously.
Steve? It's okay.
What the heck?
It's okay. If you weren't that emotionally invested, sports wouldn't be fun.
It isn't fun.
No, it is fun, Steve.
When is it fun?
Steve, look right behind me on your wall of your office. What do you see? You see a newspaper article.
The headlines from Super Bowl 43.
Where the Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl.
It might have been the greatest day of my life.
Were you happy that day? Were you having fun that day?
That game was amazing.
Yes.
That's the game with Santonio Holmes catching the touchdown at the end. It's the game with James Harrison running an interception return back 100 yards, last play before halftime.
I feel your mood changing.
It didn't happen last night.
But that's the point. It's a mood. It's not a mode. We don't stay here. You woke up this morning.
What if I want to stay
in a bad mood? You might want to stay here. And based on our conversation so far this morning, I feel like you're going to stay here for a few days. But it will pass. This too shall pass.
I need to get this out. I need to punch something, kick something, run something over. I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't hear from me within a day of this podcast, please send help.
Somebody's got to pay the price for this.
I just hope it's
not. Because I'm angry today.
I hope it's not me. I feel like it might be the episode.
It's not you. It's not you. Yeah, maybe the episode.
But the thing is, there's moods. We have moods. We're angry. We're sad. We're frustrated. We're disappointed. We're happy. We're joyous. We're peaceful. We're content.
They're real moods.
We move in and out of moods. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, as a youth pastor, as a youth worker...
Yeah.
There are the many, we've talked about the many hats the youth worker wears. Mm-hmm. What about the many moods that a youth worker wears?
Yeah, the thing about the moods is that you still have to be the youth pastor even when you're in the mood. Well, whatever mood you're in.
Right.
Right, whether it's good or bad.
You still have to press on.
If you are a youth group and you're in one of these moods, you still got to push through, and it's not always easy.
Have you ever been in a mood while leading youth group?
Are you serious?
Yeah, pretty much every time.
Every
you're in a
time,
mood,
there's
right?
some mood, and they're often not the best of moods.
Right, but yet you still have to answer the bell. Right?
How could you be in a good mood if your calling is to work with, you know, fickle teenagers all the time?
that would disappoint you,
and you got people just doing dumb things, and I'm in a bad mood. Can you tell?
I can. But that's what we thought we'd talk about. We're going to strike while the iron's hot, and we're going to talk about the different moods that present themselves.
Maybe this will be a little
bit
cathartic in the end. Maybe I'll feel better afterwards.
I hope so.
Well, maybe I'll feel better, and the listener will feel worse.
Well, but I think the listener hopefully will relate to some of the moods we talk about, because I'm sure they felt them.
I'm sure.
And then talk about how we press on through those moods. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and let's deal with the issue at hand.
Okay, deep breath.
Deep breath. Let's talk about anger. Let's talk about the mood.
Let's
of
talk
anger.
About anger.
And its close sister, frustration.
Yes.
Right? They're, because frustration comes with a tinge of anger typically, right?
This is the perfect description of how I feel today.
Right. And so
because I'm angry at the referees for bad calls, and I'm frustrated with the team for not playing well in the second half. They're both the blame.
And you put those together and you get a mood.
You get a mood.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so our mood as a youth worker of being angry or being frustrated or some combination of the two mm-hmm. can come from multiple sources.
True.
Clearly, because we're human beings, they can come from sources outside of ministry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They could come from our sports team not performing to the level at which we'd hope they would perform. It could come
shallow, but it's true.
True. It could come from situations at home. It could come from friendships, mm-hmm. even outside the church. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could put us in a mood.
Yeah.
There's things in ministry.
Yeah.
Clearly, that can put you in a mood.
Yeah.
What are
We're
things
holistic
in,
people. It all filters right. into one big pool of emotion.
What are some of the things specific to your work as a mm-hmm. youth worker, or youth pastor, that lead to the mood of anger or frustration?
Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind, maybe the thing that makes me the most angry, is when, we talked about pet peeves a little bit last week. We had people answer that question. This isn't a pet peeve. This is a little deeper than that. But when there's people who have an opinion about what the youth ministry should be doing solely based on their limited perspective, usually the perspective of their kid.
I was going to say, what is their limited
yeah.
perspective?
So
their limited
someone perspective who has is... a kid in the youth ministry, the kid doesn't like something, or the parents want something for their kid that is very specific, and they're all about that, and they don't see the bigger picture. And that's complicated, especially depending on the influence of the parents at hand.
Exactly.
So, there have been times where I've had those conversations and felt this pushback from certain church leaders in this area that make it really difficult to function, because that they're not seeing the bigger picture, and yet I feel this pressure to somehow meet their expectations. And that makes me really
angry.
Can make
angry. You
angry. Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Frustrated.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. For me, one of the things that makes me really angry and frustrated a little at the same mm-hmm. time is when parents play the I didn't know game, whether they miss a registration deadline or they don't get their kid signed up for something or they miss an event, and they play the but I didn't know, but I just didn't know. And my blood will boil in 2.8 seconds when I hear a parent say that, and it's for two reasons. Number one is I put a fair amount of work
right.
into making sure that I've communicated in multiple different fashions
yes.
and formats
yes.
so that the parents do know.
Yes, and you're probably good at this. You wouldn't have been in youth ministry for so long if you didn't have some administrative acumen, right?
I think
to be able to communicate things well.
I think this is actually one of my strengths.
Okay.
I think that I have weaknesses, but communication is not one of them.
Okay.
If I have a weakness, it's I over-communicate. Mm. Second reason it makes me angry is I'm a parent
right.
of high school students.
With lots going on.
Mm-hmm. And so I bust my backside
mm-hmm.
to make sure I know
you're staying on top of
everything that needs to be known so that mm-hmm. my kids don't miss an opportunity mm-hmm. or miss out on something. Because again, a lot of the stuff my kids are involved in are outside the church.
Right.
They don't have the grace that the church does. When a parent
right,
contacts
right, right.
me and says, oh, I didn't know the deadline was this Sunday for the retreat. Is there any way I can sign
yeah.
the kid up? I say, yes. Why? Because I want their kid on the retreat.
Right.
I have grace. That's fine.
I didn't know basketball tryouts were last night. Is there any way I can still try out?
No.
No.
You missed That's it. The thing. So I'm working hard as a parent to be on top of that.
Right.
So when I see a parent not
yeah.
and then try to actually blame me for not communicating, even
yeah.
though I know I communicated, that puts me in a mood. Oh,
do you
a
see
mood.
A, do you see a pattern here?
I do.
It's parents.
That's
parents
right.
put
yeah,
you
parents.
In the mood.
Parents can put you in a mood.
They put you in the mood of anger and frustration.
They can also put you in a good mood.
They can. We're being a little hard because
we're
parents
hard.
Too, so
Absolutely.
we're on ourselves as well. But
we get
yeah.
it. We get it.
Yeah, so anger, frustration, That's definitely a mood that comes up fairly often.
So when you have, when you're in that mood, you're in that mood today, Steve, but yet you got to answer the bell. It's a work day for you. What, how do you do that? How do you press on?
Oh, that's why I'm here. I'm talking to you. You give me some answers.
I got no answers.
You got a dog for me to kick or something?
No, no. But you'll press on. I mean, you've done it before. You've been in a mood before and you had to go lead youth group or you had to show up to the office and go to a meeting or something.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, the hard thing for me is that I am introverted. So when I'm in the mood.
You want to withdraw.
I want to withdraw. I don't want to deal with people. So, yeah.
Well, you made a big step forward this morning. You didn't cancel our recording session. Because you could have. You could have said, I don't want to. I don't want to see that Matthew McCabe doofus right now. He's going to try to make me laugh, try to put me in a good mood. I don't want to be in a good mood.
I don't want to be in a good mood. I want to stay in this mood for a little while.
Well, it sounds simple, but it's just, to me, I just go back to it's part of the grown-up world.
Yeah.
You know, whether I'm in a mood or not, like, the world is pressing on, and ministry is pressing on. It needs to happen, so.
So we named two things that make us angry. I'm sure that there are many other things. We didn't talk about things students do that make us angry, or volunteers, or just whatever.
Other things in life that make us angry.
The reality is that we're going to get angry.
Sure.
And the hard part about being a youth worker or a pastor is there's very little outlet to really express that.
True.
You can't say the things you want to say. You can't, you know, really lash out like so much of the world does. Not that we should.
And, right.
You know, we're trying to be Christ-like, but there's this restriction on how we can express ourselves.
Because of our job.
Because of our job that sometimes leads to even more frustration. So we got to have a place where you can at least unload that somehow, somewhere. I mean, in prayer, certainly,
yes.
Talking to God and releasing the anger to God. But having a friend, having a spouse, having somebody on your youth team that you can really talk to.
Just be honest with. Say the things that you want to say that are making you angry, but you can't say in public.
Yes.
You just,
We have an episode that I've had on my list for a long time, which is the Thought Bubbles of the Youth Pastor, which is going to be a fun one.
That'll be a fun one.
We'll have a good time with that. But all the things that you want to say
that you can't. Love it. All right, so we got anger and frustration. That's a mood. What are some other moods of the youth pastor?
I think another common mood for the youth pastor is disappointment, which mixes with sadness.
Yeah.
Disappointment, because we have such high, lofty vision and goals for what the youth ministry is going to be and what we're going to see happen in people's lives.
And we should have those.
We should.
That's healthy.
Yes.
But it's going to lead to
lots of disappointment.
Right, because we work with people. And we work with fully developed people at the same time. So, there's going to be some things that we're going to experience, some things that we're going to see in ministry that is going to make us sad and make us disappointed.
It's hard because we pour our heart and soul into these relationships and then they don't come to be what we expect them to be. I often think, how did Jesus really deal emotionally with his relationship with Judas? Can you imagine?
It had to be.
How painful.
How difficult.
Or his relationship with Peter when Peter denied him. Like, we kind of spiritualize all that, but my goodness.
There's some real emotion there. There's
emotion,
some real moods
that
there.
Had to be so difficult for him. So,
and then even outside of ministry. I mean, we live in just a terribly broken world. And so even get outside of our ministry bubble and our church bubble, and just you can watch the news in the morning and be disappointed and sad at what's happening in the world. And last week I spent some time with some dear friends of ours who are just in a family crisis. Mm. And it was good to be with them, but the weight of that, there was just sadness and disappointment. And you carry that into other things that you do.
Yeah, how does that not affect you?
It's not a bad thing, but because it's the right thing. I'm glad that I can share the load of their sadness and their disappointment for kind of the situation that they're in. But yet, then I carry that into everything else that I do, my family, my life, my ministry.
You know, that's such a good point. And I think that's kind of what's bringing this conversation into the open today. I was in a bad mood over the weekend to some extent because I'm dealing with aging parents, and I went to see them on Friday, and it was just really, really difficult. And so I carried that into Saturday and my day off with my wife, and it was a good day. But then Sunday, I just was not feeling it.
Not feeling it. You were in the mood.
Yeah, and I got to Sunday night, and that was just the icing.
Boy, the mood escalated.
Yeah. So yeah, those things affect us, and I think it's good to just admit that and realize that.
Mm-hmm. What are some things ministry-wise, like your work in youth ministry, that are especially disappointing or saddening for you?
One of the things that's most disappointing is when you pour yourself out for a student, and you see them growing, and then they leave. Yeah. Either leave the church or walk away from the youth ministry. Or walk away from their faith. Sometimes that happens later. I'm thinking of it from two different perspectives. But the first is, I had a student 6 or 8 years ago who was, I had this guys group that was meeting together as they transitioned to high school. And we met together for like 10 weeks in the spring. Had a great time together. Kid was growing and was really involved. The day, the week after that thing ended, he went to another church.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
He went to another youth group. Now, you know, the big side of me is like, okay, he's still involved with God's people. That's a good thing. But
wasn't mine, was it?
It wasn't yours.
Okay.
If it would have been.
Maybe it would be okay. Yeah, I don't know.
No. But it was just so disappointing because I took it personally that our youth group wasn't meeting his needs, or I wasn't, you know, considered holy enough for, I don't know what it was. I think it was the girls at the other youth group, to be honest.
Probably.
But, you know, that's really disappointing.
Sure.
That's really disappointing. It's hard to watch that.
Yeah, I think when I watch students make decisions that I know they're going to regret.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not talking about decisions to drink or do drugs or to, you know, walk away from their faith or make poor decisions like that. I'm thinking even on a simpler level, like a person who backs out of the fall retreat the day before because they got too much homework.
Does that happen?
It does.
Really?
Often. Unfortunately.
We had a whole bunch of those at our fall retreat. I was so frustrated.
It's becoming more normal. It's not an anomaly anymore, which again, is disappointing and sad because I think, or a student makes a decision to stay back for a sporting event and not go on the fall retreat.
That happens too?
That actually happens more than I'd really like to even admit. And you think, not that that's the end of the world. I mean, I hope they get good grades, and I hope that they're committed to their sports teams. These are all important things. But
I hope they get bad grades and get injured.
But what I know, you are in a mood, Steve. No, wow,
I'm kidding.
You're shooting
darts. I'm kidding.
No, but you know that when in 10 years, when they look back, they're gonna be like, I traded the fall retreat, which could be like a stake in the ground, powerful spiritual moment for me. For that one game or practice even. And I think they'll be disappointed. And so I'm disappointed in anticipation of the regret that they're going to feel for making that decision, knowing that I'm semi-powerless as much as I try to speak into it. And we do try to challenge students and speak into it. It's just, it makes me sad because I know what they're missing.
I think what adds to my disappointment in that situation is sometimes that event is the thing that gets them involved.
Right.
And so if they don't do that thing, they make that decision to not go in the retreat, then they end up never getting involved and then they miss the whole deal. I've had that happen so many times and that's so disappointing because, like you say, you know they're going to look back and they're going to think, why did I make that choice? I cost myself all these opportunities to be involved in this thing. I have a student like that now. I think I shared that a few weeks ago, that I just pursued this kid relentlessly to get involved because I know that she would love it.
Right.
And it hasn't happened. And the time is getting short. And she's going to graduate from high school. And she's going to be disappointed that she missed all those opportunities. And I'm disappointed for her.
Right. Yeah.
And sad about that.
Yeah. And I obviously it goes bigger than that when you're watching students make decisions in their life, not necessarily related to whether they come to group or retreat or something, but they're just making decisions that, again, because of your advanced age and maturity, you know, oh, no, 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 don't do that because it's going to hurt so bad. Mm-hmm. But they're going to make it anyway. And I spend a lot of days, more than I'd like to admit, sad, because I just know where those decisions are leading, mostly because I've made some of them myself.
Sure.
And so I know I'm so real that, yeah, I just, I'm sad and disappointed.
That's a pretty frequent emotion, isn't it?
It's a mood. It's a mood that I find knocking at my door quite often.
Yeah. We've named two really great ones so far.
No, we're on the bad side. We promise we're gonna try to end on a positive note here with a good mood. But we have one more mood that I find myself in from time to time.
I find myself in this one a lot. I'm gonna admit it.
Wow. Yeah. And it's the tired/apathetic mood, where you're just
tired.
You just don't want to. I don't want to do it.
Yes.
I can just see myself on the couch on a Sunday afternoon about 4 o'clock thinking, I really should be super excited now to get up, put my shoes on, get in the car, drive to church, and start prepping for an amazing night of high school ministry.
Here's why we're sharing this, guys. Because if you can't admit that you sometimes feel like this, if you're stuck in that pattern of, I always have to be up.
Everything is awesome.
If I'm not up, what's wrong with me if I'm not up? I mean, let's be honest. Nobody's in that state all the time. We're going to have
especially our students.
Yeah, true. We're going to have those days where we don't feel like doing this. We're going to be tired physically, maybe just physically tired or apathetic. Maybe just don't feel like doing it today. How many Sunday nights have you led in your life?
Oh,
you ever thought about that?
I have not, but now I am, thanks, Steve.
I mean, I still love to do it. I'm not saying I don't love to do it, but how many have I done?
But yeah, you start thinking, an average of 45 a year or so. You take a few Sunday nights off here or there, right? You got 45 a year times 25 years.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot, right?
Yes.
So the fact that there's a Sunday now and then at 4 o'clock, I'm not like jumping jacks and running through the roof just to get out the door. I'm actually sitting there going like, I don't know. That's whatever. I'm in a mood, Steve. My words aren't great. I don't speak so well. But the fact that there are Sundays where I'm going like, babe, do I have to go?
Yeah.
Can I call in sick? I mean, is there, what can I do here?
It's okay.
That's okay. That's going to be there. Now, if that's the majority of the time.
Right.
Well, then there's probably something deeper and maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you need to dig a little bit deeper. But if that pops up, don't ignore it. Don't think you're some kind of horrible person because it came up. You're real. Just be real and authentic.
Here's something I've discovered just this year since we started this podcast, because we started to build out our Instagram account. And what I did was just follow a bunch of
You just started
youth
typing
groups.
In normal youth group names.
And they all came up.
And they all came up.
So we're following all these youth groups. So they all show up on our feed, and it's cool. And, of course, when you're posting on Instagram, you're posting the cool thing that's happening.
The great stuff. The exciting excitement.
Stuff.
You don't post your apathetic mood.
No. And so I look out there, like, every youth group in the country is having an absolute fabulous night.
It's unbelievable.
They're doing these great things. Look at this crowd. Oh, my goodness. And the worship's amazing. And the teacher is just killing it.
Absolutely.
He's killing it.
And the youth leader is, like, so excited. Hey,
another teacher is killing it. Yeah.
And then you're feeling like, I don't even want to be here.
I don't feel like being here. Our youth group doesn't look like this tonight. I'm not that excited about this. And you just start to compare yourself to everybody else. And you think, what's wrong with me? Which leads to a mood. Yeah,
which leads to a mood of discouragement, disappointment.
Yeah. And you think, what's wrong with me? I'm tired and apathetic. Well, I guess it's okay.
It is okay.
You're not seeing the whole picture from all those other youth groups.
Right. However, it's okay. Caveat. Asterisk. Subnote, right? It's okay as long as you don't let it dominate what you do.
Yes.
Because we're grown-ups. We live in the grown-up world. And so regardless of mood—
Got to go to work.
We got to show up. And so for those multiple Sundays over the last 10 years that I was sitting on the couch thinking, oh, I really don't want to go tonight. Mm. You know what I did?
You went.
I went.
Yeah.
I went. And on some levels, not to be completely fake, but on some levels, I put a smile on.
Oh, yeah.
And I brought some energy because that's my job. And I know that the tone of the night is going to follow my lead.
Yeah.
And so I might feel it. Now, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you there were a few Sundays in there where I showed up and just trudged through the night.
Right.
Pathetic and apathetic. Wait, pathetic. That's not even the word.
Probably I'm, that too.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not saying I didn't do that, but those nights didn't go well.
Right.
I'm sure I sent kids home in a mood.
Not every night is an A plus.
So whether we're angry or frustrated, or whether we're disappointed or sad, or whether we're tired or apathetic, we gotta talk a little bit about how do we press through that.
Right. Well, one of the wonderful things about this is that sometimes God just answers our need in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something will happen. Well, a conversation will happen on that night where we just don't feel like being there. That reminds us that, wow, I really am called to do this. And this is a good thing, which kind of leads to our last mood, which is peaceful and assured that this is what we're supposed to do.
That's a great mood.
It is a good mood.
I kind of like to be in that mood right now, but I'm not.
I'm not either.
But when you're not, how do you either get there or how do you remember those moods? Because you've been in that mood before, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely.
That peaceful and assured mode of that you're just doing exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of ways that you need to remind yourself of that mood. One is keep a file of memories, notes, cards, emails that you can just go to. I mean, if you're in that mood and it's a pretty dark place, go to that and read those. Remember what good things have happened in the past. That's one thing
I
do.
The other thing is to, again, like we just said, show up.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that mood comes from observing something you didn't expect.
Right.
And so I'm tired and apathetic and I don't want to go, but I go and I show up. And then by the end of the night, I'm watching something happen that there's no way I could have made happen because of my mood.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I feel a sense of peace and a sense of assured, like, no, this is why I show up every week. This is why I do what I do, even when I'm in a mood.
I think being really honest about it with other people, too. I think it's okay to tell somebody, you know, maybe not tell everybody, you know what, I'm really struggling tonight. Would you just pray for me that I can get through this night? I don't have the energy I'd like to have. I'm frustrated. I'm sad. I'm whatever, apathetic. You know, could you just lift me up in prayer and help me get through this night? And God delivers.
Yeah.
You know, he'll bring a conversation. He'll bring something that happens that just kind of lifts you out of that mood.
Absolutely. It was a couple weeks ago. I was in kind of a funk. So a mood, funk, whatever you want to call it, wasn't really feeling it and showed up on Sunday morning and it was baptism Sunday and I was baptizing somebody, which was a cool thing, but I still was in a mood. And, but I'm standing on the stage and I'm listening to people tell their stories of coming to Jesus. And that particular morning, this was four or five people who literally just met Jesus recently and it just transformed their lives. And I just was up there on the stage, just tears running down my cheeks because of what God's doing in their lives. And then I go from there. I'm supposed to teach in middle school that morning. And so I quick change, and I walk into middle school during worship time. And one of our high school students is singing, he's leading one of the songs that morning. And it's a high school student that's not only in our ministry, but like we know their family personally and have known them for years, kind of my kids grew up with this kid. And she's just belting out this worship song. I literally just lost. I just burst in. I could barely pull myself together to teach because I was just so overwhelmed. And I went home that afternoon and I sat down and I went from a mood to a mood. I went from a sad and disappointed and frustrated and angry at little things to... I get to be a part of this, like just this peace and this assured of like, okay, yep, this is why I do it. And so I think sometimes just showing up, even when you don't want to, even when you're not in a mood to show up, is the answer to how to get through the mood. Because
that's true.
Literally, God changed my mood that day.
Yeah.
By doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is pretty cool.
That's good. It's good how God answers the specific need of the frustrated, apathetic, tired, angry youth pastor heart, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
It's very cool.
It is.
Kind of fun to be a part of.
Are you telling me that there's hope for me today?
There's hope for you today, Steve. I'm not saying that your mood's going to change today because you're going to get back on Facebook later and Twitter and it's going to blow some air on the embers. But whether it's today or whether it's Wednesday or next Sunday, this mood will pass.
Well,
and everything's going to be okay. And you're going to end up, and you're going to read a great encouraging note. Or you're going to have a good conversation, like you said, and God's going to change your heart.
I think I'm just never going to watch football ever again in my life.
Okay, Steve, that's just absolutely ridiculous. Number one, because football's fun to watch. Number two, because it's not true. you're going to watch next Sunday.
It's causing me nothing but grief. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, we'll move on.
What you should do is tonight go home, stop at Walmart on your way home, buy a really cheap, like Ravens, like rally towel, and then start a fire in your backyard and burn it. It will make you feel better. I promise you, Steve.
Well, I tried that already.
Oh, you did?
No,
you've
I'm
already
kidding.
Burned
it. No, I'm kidding. Well, hopefully this has been helpful for you. It's been helpful for me just to vent a little bit today, get some of this out.
Be able to identify the different moods that you're in and not be afraid of them, to be able to embrace them, but just to also know that there's good moods as well.
We all have them. We all have them. So don't think that if you're not in the greatest of moods that you can't carry on as a youth worker, because you can.
Because you can. Because people are doing it every Sunday and every Wednesday and every Thursday, whatever day they're in the mood.
And God is good in all of that.
Absolutely. So anyway.
We hope this was helpful for you. We're really excited about our next episode. Next week, we are going to release a crossover episode.
A podcast crossover episode. So excited.
First time we've ever done it. We're going to be releasing an episode with Derry Prankert of My Third Decade. We're so stoked for this. We've been trying to get it together for weeks.
Oh, yeah.
We finally pulled it together.
We've tried to put the schedules together for sure.
Yeah.
So we're both excited about it, and we can't wait to share it with you guys next Tuesday. Yeah. So tune in next Tuesday for Crossover with My Third Decade.
Episode 37.
Until then.
Yeah. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to hear from you and figure out what your mood is. Maybe we can talk you off the cliff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you can talk me off the cliff. That's probably more likely.
But either way, find us out there. We enjoy the conversation, and we look forward to next week.
Until then.
Sherpas out.